like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, snip, snap, snip, snap. Angel Reese is now saying, she said this morning, that she will visit the White House with her team days after suggesting that the Tigers should instead celebrate their national championship with former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama rather than with President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden. Here's what she said initially on Jill when she was talking about not going and then, in fact, going to the Obamas instead.
I don't accept the, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't accept the apology because of, you Jill, said what you
Jill
said.
Biden.
Yeah.
First
the,
lady.
The
first
wife,
lady.
Yeah.
You said
first
what you lady. Said and you meant what
I
you said.
I said what I said. And, like, you can't go back on certain things that you say. I mean, you felt like they should have came because of sportsmanship, right? They can have that spot. Like, we'll go to the Obamas. We'll see, I'm going to see Michelle. I'm going to see Barack.
Hold on. So did you guys speak to the first lady?
No, apparently she was supposed to come to our locker room before the game, but we said no.
Before the game?
Yeah, they were all. She was supposed to come to our locker room and go to Iowa's locker room. I don't know if she talked to them. I don't know if she did, but we said we didn't want to. We didn't want her coming
Why?
To the locker room. I think Joe Biden had put somebody else to win a national championship. He didn't even put us on his bracket to getting out of Baton Rouge. So I was like, bet.
Listen, I stand by my take on Monday. I don't think the hand in the face thing was a big deal. It got us talking about it. But Angel Reese, I didn't pay attention to her until this week. What is she talking about here? She didn't want the... I'm sorry. Politics aside, and I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, but it's the President of the United States and the First Lady. You don't want Jill Biden to come in your locker room and speak to you because Joe Biden didn't have you picked to win? It's a sport, and just because they didn't... It's a sport. It's nothing personal. So they didn't want the president and his wife to come in and talk to them in the locker room because the president didn't pick them to win in the bracket. Dude, it sounds so childish.
Yeah, I mean, there's things you can say when you're doing interviews that are just smarter things to say. Maybe you don't have the experience to formulate your words the way you want to. And maybe you're getting caught up in the, oh, my 15 minutes of fame or whatever. Everyone's talking about this game. 2 days from now, we're not talking about it. So,
no, we're not talking about the game. No. We just keep talking about Angel Reese and her comments.
It was just dumb.
But she said in the beginning we were her talking about why she would just go to the Obamas instead. Which, again, why would you go? They're just going to go to their house and hang out? They don't. It's not
the work.
It's not the White House, bro. I mean, come on. In the beginning, we were hurt. It was emotional because we know how hard we worked all year for everything. She was talking about that on SportsCenter because she tried to turn it into kind of a race thing, too. That, you know, if they would have lost to Iowa, they wouldn't have been invited. But let me just say it right now. I'm not going to go political here, but isn't it possible, from what we've heard from Joe Biden sometimes, that maybe they just didn't know how it went? That maybe
it's
they
certainly
just
possible.
Didn't know?
I mean, but is it really that much of a slap in the face to say, yeah, we want to... If Iowa had won and LSU had made it a competitive game or something.
And they said, hey, we want them both to come.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't think that's right because we're in a, you know, everybody gets a participation trophy. But isn't that fair to think that that's how the Bidens view things, perhaps?
Sure.
That, hey, you made it. That's good enough. You're not okay. I'm not okay. We're not okay. Let's all not be okay together. But instead, Angel Reese turns it in and blows it up to personal that they wanted Iowa there more than you. No, and Biden didn't pick you in the bracket, so you can't go talk to him. So you're going to go to the Obamas. Angel Reese, I think it's fair to just assume that Jill Biden maybe just didn't know how this works. And she was just saying something. I'll give it to her. Just saying something nice about both teams. And yeah, it's not right. The champion goes to the White House. That's it. But don't take it as a personal thing. She's setting herself up, man. I mean, She has an opportunity now. She's got a platform, and she's talking a lot. She's saying a lot of things. And she doesn't, I mean, I don't know how the rest of the country's receiving her message, but it's strange to me.
How about her team?
It's all about her now. I mean, again, I have no issue with trash talk and hands in the face. I don't care when it was, man. I mean, if you want to get nasty and get nasty, do that. Go back and forth. That's fine. It had us talking about it. But everything that's happened after the fact has just been silly. I mean, yeah, I made fun of the Biden saying, or Joe Biden saying, hey, we want them both to come. I'm like, no, that's not how this works. That's not how this thing is. But I didn't take it as a slight to LSU. I didn't take it as anything other than Joe Biden might have just been a little bit confused as to how it works or didn't realize how sacred that is, maybe, to invite the champs to the White House. You don't bring the runner-up.
You know what? Let's just not do it anymore. No one gets to go to the White House.
I think we shouldn't do it anymore because it's a big deal all the time now. We shouldn't.
I mean, it's a cool opportunity for the
But it's always a political thing.
Right.
It's always, well, I don't like who's in office, so we're going to decline to go. And then it becomes, oh, then you got 50-50 split again. We just keep dividing. You know what? Stop going to the damn White House.
You know, the NFL did it right. Take them to Disney World. Take them
does
to Six Flags.
Does the NFL not go anymore?
To Disney World?
No, to the White House. Do the Chiefs
not
go?
I think they still do. But, you know, the NFL is always known for, you won the Super Bowl. What are you doing next? I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Just go somewhere else.
Go to Six Flags. They're fun.
Because now this has turned into a political thing. And now they're going to go, but it's still already, you know, the cat's out of the bag, man. You've already turned it into kind of a political deal. Kyrie Irving, among five Mavericks, ruled out for their must-win game. Four key Dallas Mavericks role players will sit out as well. Is it done if they win? Or they what does it look like? Do they control their own? They don't control their own destiny, right? They need OKC to lose. They must win tonight and Sunday afternoon against the Spurs, and the Thunder must lose at home Sunday to the Grizzlies, which might not happen now if you're the Grizzlies. You're not playing your guys on Sunday. Might be a big David Roddy day. He might start.
What's interesting about that announcement for the Mavericks is they said role players. Luka's not in that list.
Luka's playing, right? He's listed as probable tonight.
So are they resting their guys that they're going to be moving forward with? And Luka is just, hey, go get some film.
Well, maybe Luka's refusing to sit out.
Because he's purposely sitting everyone else out. Because they're going to be, those four guys, we're good with you guys. We're going to keep you guys next year.
But Luka, we don't care.
Yeah.
Because he's already voiced that he wants out.
We're pushing the Luka to Denver narrative.
Well, okay. Since we're there, and I want to talk about this when we have more time too. We talk about Michael Malone and how if this doesn't work out, you're probably looking elsewhere, which is weird because he's been on this upward trajectory for so long. Jamal Murray's right there with him, in my opinion. Jamal Murray is, the pressure is on Michael Malone, A, Jamal Murray, B. And so we're going to find out if Jamal can really be the Robin to Nikola Jokic that he needs to be, or if the Nuggets need to look elsewhere for that second star. You know, you and I can argue back and forth about MPJ being the second star, whatever, but wouldn't you say nationally and just the way it's gone over the years, Jamal Murray's supposed to be the second best player on this team.
Yeah, I mean, Jamal was at one point the face of this core.
Well, when he took off in the bubble, the narrative around that was Joker's the better player, but Jamal Murray is the vocal leader, the all-star. He's going to be your superstar guy. Joker's going to be, you know, the nitty-gritty, does all the hard work. He does all the stuff that we're not putting on SportsCenter. But Jamal's going to be the face, so I agree with you there. Well, look what he did, dude. In that bubble run, their first series against Utah, and we all know how that went, the Nuggets won the first game. They lost the next three. Then they won the final three. They did the same thing with Clippers, essentially. But look at these games against Utah. And that's when Donovan Mitchell was still there. 36 points in game one. Five rebounds. 14 points in game two. Not great. 12 points in game three. Not great. 50 in game four. Game four. 42 in game 5. 50 again in game 6. Then he had 17 in a tight game. It was sensational. Then they go up against the Clippers. They lose game 1. Murray was a no-show. He had 12 points. Game 2, they won 110-101. 27 points, 6 assists. Game 3, game 4, they lost. He had 14 and 18. Game 5, 26. Game 6, 21. Game 7, 40. Showed up. He was inconsistent at times. That's what I'm saying. Like, we freaked out about the bubble. He was inconsistent. But in the biggest games, he showed up. He showed up in the must wins. When they were down 3-1, he had 50 in the game they lost by 2. It was a tie. It was a crazy series, that Utah series. But then he had 42 in a must win. He had 42 and 50 in those two must wins against Utah to force the game 7. Same situation with the Clippers. When they were down 3-1, it was the following game on September. When was it? Yeah, the playoffs were in September, weren't they? Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
It was weird.
Because of COVID and all that stuff.
They shut down in March.
That's
right. They started the bubble like late July.
I was looking at the dates. I'm like, that's not right. Oh, it was September. Then they play like a month and a half later. The game they needed to win, otherwise they were going to be out. Jamal Murray, 26 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds, 3 for 3 from the free throw line. He shot 71% from the three-point line. Okay? Then the next night, again, must win. He had 21 points. It was an okay game, 21. But then game 7, 40. Now, against the Lakers, his numbers were impressive there, too. They lost that series 4-1. They went down early 2-1. Close games there, too. Game 2 was amazing. I remember that game. They lost by 2. Jamal had 25. So now you're down 2-0. To make this a series, you got to have a big game. Game 3, Jamal showed out again. 28 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds. Then the next two, he hit 32. They ultimately lost in 5. 18 minutes after the hour. Let's talk more about that, though. And Jamal Murray's experience or lack thereof. That was his last playoff game. His last playoff game was September 26th, 2020. That was Jamal Murray's last playoff game. So is Murray a guy that shines brightest when he's under the big lights? That's what his past would tell us. Let's look at other years, too. Jerry Schimmel coming up next, the voice of the Rockies. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Join Tanner Schwint this spring for Preps Baseball on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Rockies get the dub on their home opener over the Washington Nationals, 1-0. Hey, win's a win. It wasn't the over I expected. I got, 25 cents riding on that bad boy. But Jerry Schimmel joining us now, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies. Jerry, a win's a win, and when you can see Kyle Freeland dominant like that, man, I'll take that every day of the week.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, it's just the 11th win, 1-0 win at home for the Rockies in their history.
Wow.
30 years at Coors Field, they've only had 11 of those. So, you know, you expect Coors Field to be a 7-6 one-run game, right, rather than 1-0. But, no, you'll definitely take it. It was a great day weather-wise, packed house, lots of festivities, 30-year anniversary celebration. And then you mentioned Kyle Freeland, spectacular. So, Kyle started the season with 12 and two-thirds scoreless innings. You can't get much better than that.
No, you can't. And again, you know, it's when you can see it. We were craving, Jerry, we're craving a dominant performance, a consistent dominant performance from these guys, from these starting pitchers. And it starts there. So when you see a game like that on your home opener, I mean, it just doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think everybody appreciated that yesterday. I know everybody was waiting like I was, probably you too, Brady, for the bats to get going.
Yeah.
And that never happened. But, you know, they didn't need that because they pitched so well. And it was cool that Pierce Johnson, another Denver native, by the way, gets the save. So you get a win for a Denver native,
yeah,
and a save for a Denver native. And Pierce Johnson's got his first two saves of his career with the Rockies now. So just that, all in all, just a wonderful atmosphere and experience, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, I couldn't write a better way to start that home season off than that. It was a little interesting, though, Jerry, in that, was it in that first inning when we almost had the fan interrupting everything?
Yeah.
I mean, that could have changed the game. Profar made an amazing grab, but
yes,
if that guy interferes, whatever, there was a guy on base for Washington, so that could have been a completely different game.
I'm so with you. And that was, I think, the key moment of the game, and it came in the first inning. So, you know, Jurickson Profar is a solid left fielder, obviously, and he showed it yesterday. That wasn't even his better catch. The diving catch going towards center field is even better than that. But you're right, that was a really key moment of the game. And it somehow, he got the glove on the ball and then stayed there. He got interfered with. I mean, hit the kid's glove, and he still held on. So it could have gone really wacky from there, no question.
When you were calling that, when you guys were calling this, Jerry, what did you think? Because I was looking at it, I was like, did the kid catch it or did Profar catch it? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, you know what you do in that situation, the broadcast, you look and see what Profar's reaction is.
Yeah.
So, you know, you see two gloves up there and you wonder, then he comes, because there was a guy on first, I think, he comes up throwing, so you knew that he made the catch immediately. I think that was Jack's call, so that was in the first inning. But that's you do. A lot of times you react to what the players do. You know, it's interesting. I was just talking to somebody last night about this, Brady. This Coors Field press box, you've been up there, it's a perfect view. It's a perfect height. You know, it's a wonderful place to broadcast a game. Some of the newer parks, like Washington and Pittsburgh and some others, you are literally on the roof. I mean, the roof is your ceiling. It's so far down, you can't tell whether a pop-up is a home run or it's a pop-up in the infield. You have to watch the reaction of the players. So I kind of train myself, Jack does too, train yourself when you go to those places to react to what the players are doing. We had to kind of do the same thing in that first inning yesterday.
Boy, Jerry, you have such a great view, too. I love you so much, but I was so jealous of you that day. I mean, I'm sitting there watching. There's you, Jack, just absolutely gorgeous. There's a slight little breeze, nothing doing anything. I mean, man, what a view.
It was, you know, it's great. Yeah, no question. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. And, you know, the radio booth is not gigantic. There's some other ones in Major League Baseball that are better, but I think the position of this one, we're right behind home plate. We're in most ballparks, we're off the side a little bit. It's so easy to see pitches up there. It's a great view of the skyline. Yeah, it's fantastic. You're right. We're spoiled.
I love it, man. And it was such an honor to get to go down there last year. That was great. Hey, and if Jerry, if you hook us up again, can you do me a favor? I know Tanner's not listening. Can we do this? Can you just put Brady and friend on there? I'm begging you. That would be the best thing in the history of the world. It would be hilarious. So let's work on that.
Let's do it. All right. That's a done deal, Brady.
And we won't say anything. We'll just wait till we get there. And then, oh, are you friend? Yep, he sure is. I thought, obviously, we talked about the pitching stuff, too. But Chris Bryant, that's a guy where, I mean, the Rockies fans have been so burnt after the Nolan Arenado stuff and Trevor Story stuff. They're just looking for their guy. And there was so much excitement last year when Chris Bryant was brought in. Obviously, the injuries really messed with his season. But seeing him on the home opener, he was kind of the offense there. So seeing him get going for the Rockies was probably pretty cool for the fans, too.
Yeah, it was. No question about it. And I was kind of walking the concourse before we started. And it's amazing, Brady, how many Bryant jerseys, Rockies jerseys, people are wearing. And it's by far the most popular. And, you know, I thought it might be Charlie Blackman or Freeland or somebody. But what I counted was probably 2-1 Bryant jerseys over anybody else. So he's already become a really popular guy and obviously a great hitter, former National League MVP. And he was really all the offense we needed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, he had that double to drive in a run. So, he's going to be a terrific player and make the guys around him better as well. You know, you hear that. I heard that for a long time. He makes the hitters around him better. I really didn't buy it until I started broadcasting games, and then you can see it. you can see it, you can feel it with Chris Bryant. So I think he's going to make Charlie Blackman and C.J. Cron, wherever he's sitting around, that much better.
Jerry Schimmel joining us, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies. It just doesn't get much better than listening to you and Jack. We're glad to have Rockies coverage back on KFKA. Absolutely love it. What are you thinking tonight? Angel and I were looking at the lines again. It's the exact same thing. It's -1.5. It's over 11. Do we see the opposite of what we saw yesterday?
That's a great question.
Jerry, come on. Help me out, man. I got a $1 here, $1 bet burning a hole in my pocket here.
Well, if there is some history here, Mackenzie Gore is going for the Washington Nationals tonight. He's an extremely talented young player. He was a key piece in the Juan Soto trade with San Diego. But he has one Coors Field start, gave up 8 runs in 4 innings in a game last July. So he might be a little intimidated by Coors Field. So I think that would probably add to the idea that you're going to get some more offense. I can't imagine the Rockies aren't going to score more than one run like they did yesterday and aren't going to get the pitching they got yesterday either. So Jose Urania needs to have a bounce back. But, yeah, I think you'll see a little more offense and some more runs scored tonight than you did yesterday.
Angel, write that down when we're making making our bets later today. You know, you look at a series like this, Jerry, again, I know it's so early, we say it 4 million times, but early series, you know, you kind of struggled a little bit against really good teams, rightfully so. You look at a national series, though, you really want to see the Rockies take advantage of these opportunities when you go up against a bad team.
Yes, sir. No question about that either, Brady. And this is might be the worst team in baseball. It looks like that way on paper, Washington. I mean, they're 1-6. If they lose tonight, they match the worst start in franchise history. Going back to their Expo days, they've lost 4 in a row. They have 2 home runs in 7 games. They have a .223 batting average. There's just nobody that sparks any danger in that lineup for you. So they've got some good young players, no question about it. The really good ones besides Mackenzie Gore, who we'll see tonight, are still in the minors. They're part of that Juan Soto trade and some others, and they're not ready yet. So there is hope for the future of this team, but right now I think people look at this team and think it might be the worst in baseball.
Well, got to take advantage of it, advantage of this series, get it done, gain some confidence there. Jerry, appreciate you. What time do you guys, I should have that, it was in our programming meeting, what time do you guys get rolling on the broadcast, not the first pitch, but the broadcast, the pregame show?
6 o'clock tonight, and first pitch at 6:40.
I love it, man. Nobody better. We appreciate you so much, and just have a fantastic call tonight, my friend.
All right, Brady. Good to talk to my friend.
You too, man. Jerry Schimmel, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies. Going over tonight, huh? Going over tonight, Angel. Double down. Here we go. We're going to have some runs. Rockies are going to town. I mean, it's going to happen. Texter from the 970 talking about the lunch rush earlier when we were talking about Angel Reese. I watched the game because of Clark, not because of LSU. She needs to recognize a good opportunity to shut up. You need to go ahead and shut up. But listen, I mean, again, what she did Monday or Sunday, what she did Sunday, they won. She does a little trash talk. It's all good in my mind. It's fine. Now you got a platform. Now you got people talking about you, Angel. And what do? You kind of make a little bit of an ass out of yourself, don't you agree? I mean, the thing she was saying, Caitlin Clark comes out smelling like roses even more than she did Sunday. She didn't talk trash back. She just kind of sat still, didn't do it. Then she comes out and says, no, you shouldn't be mad at Angel Reese. It's part of the game. We love it. Everybody's doing it. She keeps coming out saying all the right things. And Angel Reese is like, mad because doesn't want the Bidens to come into the locker room because President Joe Biden didn't pick them to win the title? Are you kidding me? I mean, to be honest, how much college women's basketball is Joe Biden really watching? President Joe Biden. Sorry.
I hope he's not watching a lot of it.
I mean,
I hope he's doing his job to lead the country.
Who is? Who is watching a lot of college basketball?
There's that one fan.
I said that quietly, sorry. But I want to watch more. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, yes, those kind of players make me want to watch more. Just like golf, man. Give me some players to root for and I'm in. And this was an opportunity, but instead Angel Reese, I'll tell you what, she's making people dislike her and look forward to watching her maybe lose next year. She's the biggest enemy in college women's sports right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you don't have the experience with the media like this, you know, maybe you're unaware of how it works and how what you can say can be turned into a headline or a narrative against you or for you. And then maybe some people, like, they saw the trash talk and said, oh, that's kind of cool, let me learn more about this. And they see an interview like that and they say, I don't know if I really like her all that much.
No. Now I'm rooting against you.
Or I just don't care.
Or I don't care. You know what? After Tuesday came, I'm like, yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about that. Flying Dutchman says the whole White House thing, talking about that too, because you and I are just basically saying, let's just stop doing it because it's a deal now. He said it's petty. This was never a thing until Trump. Did it start there? Did you have players refusing to go when Obama and George Bush were president? I don't think so. But don't you think now, given the climate,
I remember the first time Trump had Alabama to the White House for a football team was like 2017.
Everybody complained about that, too.
Yeah.
Because he bought them a bunch of fast food.
Well, that was Clemson.
Oh, was it Clemson?
That was the next year he had bought them a bunch of McDonald's food because that's what they asked for.
Yeah, that's what they wanted. They said that.
Say, hey, college kids, these guys are eating the most nutritional stuff all the time. They are so aware of what they put in their bodies.
They're doing that all the time. They want to eat freaking bad food, man.
You're telling me a big old lineman doesn't want a couple Big Macs?
And me personally, it's like, I don't want none of your fancy little dinners that you're doing at the White House.
What, lobster?
Old Devs and
lobster. Some McNuggets.
Give me a freaking Big Mac, man. I'll go to town on that bad boy. Texter, Kyrie is urban for cancer. I read the text. I don't know what that means. It just means that Kyrie, look it up in the dictionary, I guess, that he's a cancer in the locker room.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were making an Urban Meyer joke or something.
No. I read it too fast, and I thought it said Keith Urban.
Kyrie is urban.
I thought Flying Dutchman said something about Keith Urban in there. I'm like, wrong show, bro.
Keith Urban is
I'm
cancer.
Not Brian. You know, the Good Morning NoCo guys, they love them some country music. That's not so much my area of expertise, is the country music jam. But that I read it, Kyrie Urban is urban. I read it as Keith Urban. I was reading too fast, man. I got to slow down. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. This is always a fun debate. You're 25.
Four.
24. Should have kept going down.
Be 25 soon.
I'm 36. This is always a debate here that I have with people that are 5, 10, 15 years older than me. Was the NBA tougher in the 90s? Kevin Durant says probably, but he has a reason for it. Let's talk about it next, 36 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you out. You maybe are getting ready to shut the heater down for a while. And it was like, yeah, it was on death's door. It barely crossed the finish line. Crossed the finish line like the Nuggets crossed the finish line to clinch the number one. Just barely. Barely got it in there. But first, Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you out. HVAC contractor here in Greeley. Free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com is where you get some more information. But also your air conditioner. You know, last year you were having issues with it, whatever. Dude, I had a crazy thing with my air conditioner on the outside, the hose thing that goes into the unit outside. It froze over it. Like, I guess that happens. I went outside one day. I was like, why is our heater not working? And it's just a block of frozen ice over the hose. And I'm like, that doesn't seem right. But it's great businesses like Lemons Heating and Cooling that can help you out fix those issues. Because I don't know anything about it. They do. Air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning. Call 970-567-0798. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Kevin Durant was on his podcast. I guess he has his own podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. He said that he's been watching old game film, and aside from some uncalled flagrant fouls, doesn't think that the NBA was necessarily more physical back in the day. Here's his quote. I go back and watch a lot of that 90s film, 80s stuff, and they play physical. But I just think they got away with a lot of flagrant fouls. And I think that's why they call their era more physical than ours. Because guys, we play physical here too. There's more space, but guys play physical. We got strong, athletic guys here, too. But I watched some of those games. The paint was clear. Nobody was getting touched. It wasn't a lot of help defense, but you did get a lot of flagrant fouls that didn't result in fines or getting kicked out of the game. So it just seemed like it was a little rougher. Now, I watched 90s basketball. And you always hear, I mean, any sport you're talking about, you're going to get 40-plus somethings, probably going to start getting me somethings, where we go, back in my day, it was so much better. Which, it's, some of that's true and some of it's not. I remember hearing our guy, a friend, you know, a guy I know, Scott Hastings, does the Nuggets games on Altitude. He said one time during a game, and I remember Marlo firing back, he said, you know, if a guy does that to you and fake shot like that, get you up in the air, you come down hard on him, and you hit him. He's never going to do that again. And Marlo's like, that would be a flagrant foul. Like, but remember where Scott Hastings played. He played for the Detroit Pistons. He was one of the bad boys. Again, I went back and watched the Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, and dude, the Pistons are throwing punches underneath piles, and they're just calling common fouls. Jordan, they even said it. They said, we can't let Jordan get off his feet. We can't let him get in the air. Once he gets in the air, we're screwed. So you just maul him. Go at him. They played so physical that Jordan had to go put on 30 pounds of muscle in the offseason to combat them. We can argue until we're blue in the face. Was that beautiful basketball? Was the Pistons, and I'm a fan because I'm a fan of stories and history, and the Pistons are part of that history. But was that good basketball? Some of it was. But a lot of it was just, dude, they're mauling people. They're hurting people. They out-physical people.
Well, it was certainly an effective strategy, and it wasn't just they were going to play physical because of Michael Jordan. It was a part of that era of basketball, and Michael was kind of the most talented player, so you would scheme, we're going to act like we're defending the best player, so anybody else, it doesn't really matter. But they were effective at it, and they were winning games with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like they were just being physical and they were losing.
No, they were taking advantage of the rules at the time. And then the NBA slowly, they started changing some rules because of Michael Jordan. They started changing some rules around. Do I think the NBA was more physical back then and they got away with more? Yes. Is that good or bad? It's probably a little bit of both.
I don't think that makes this, what the league is now, any less physical.
The league now is physical. They just call things a lot. If there's any doubt, they're going to call a foul a lot of times. I'd like to see that ease up. You know, I'd like to see. And they're kind of getting better. They're not doing as many of the, you know, they're trying, like the offense leaning into a guy. They're getting rid of that. It's not even a basketball shot. You're up in the air and a guy's up in the air too. So you just lean over to one side and then you get the foul call. They've eliminated that. But like James Harden, he drives from the 3-point line. He's going to get a foul call. There's a good chance he's going to get a foul call. I don't think it's less physical. These guys are specimens that we're seeing play in the NBA now. Just absolutely. They didn't build them a lot like Giannis back then.
You saw Giannis when he got to the league.
Yeah, right, right. These guys have better nutrition now, workouts. I think a lot of guys still go out and party and stuff, but I don't know if that's the scene as much anymore.
Doing as many drugs as these guys.
I don't think Michael Jordan will tell you that entire team when he first got on the Bulls. It's all they were doing.
Hotel rooms.
I don't know if guys are doing that as much. I think some probably go out and party. But I don't know. I mean, you read in George Karl's book, Allen Iverson would go out almost every night, show up, you smell alcohol in his breath, but he was still so good that guys wanted to go try to hang out with him. Like J.R. Smith was one of those guys.
Oh, God.
And he wanted to go hang out with him. But then he's like, dude, he's out till 5 in the morning just partying, drinking. Drugging.
I mean, that kind of rubbed off on him. J.R. Smith took his shirt off like 2 weeks.
That's true, but Smith actually came back. He's like, I can't hang. I can't do it. And so you didn't see a lot of teammates necessarily partying with Iverson. And so I just wonder if like the newer age is like, we got video games now. We got all this different stuff at our disposal that we're gonna stay home, or we're just not gonna go out as much. You don't hear about it as much.
Well, that and social media.
True.
You don't want to get caught out doing stuff.
Can you imagine today if Draymond Green or any player in the NBA just wanted to go take 4 days off from the team in the middle of the season to go to Vegas and party like Dennis Rodman did? Can you imagine? Happen. We would know about it. They couldn't keep that secret. They kept it a secret at the time. Now we know about it. You couldn't keep that a secret.
But Rodman was already like, this dude's out of his mind.
Well, but Phil knew. He's like, I know how to coach this guy and lead this guy. You got to give him room to breathe. You got to let
Dennis be Dennis.
You got to let him out of the stall once in a while. Run around. Stretch his legs. Is it more physical now or less physical now? I mean...
Or is it that the athletes, they don't have to be as physical to be as good?
Because they're so athletic.
Right. Like, I could, you know, dribble, and then just, I'm taller than you, I have higher jump than you, I'm just going to be able to shoot over you.
Yeah.
I don't need to body you into the paint just so you can get, you know, leverage over top of me.
Yeah, that's true. It is a different game. You're not, the day and age of a lot of centers that look like Shaq and play like Shaq is going away. You're going to start seeing more guys like Giannis and Nikola Jokic, because that's going to be what guys are training to do. If you're an NBA scout right now and you see a 7-foot monster that's sophomore in college, it's like, work on that shot, work on your passing, work on your free throws, because that's what the NBA is looking for. They want a center that's skilled, because we're seeing more and more of those guys do that. Texter from the 970, maybe you can answer this, Anjel. We'll see if we can get some research for you. Brady, can you tell me if there's a way to listen to the Rockies if you don't have a physical radio? I tweeted the box the other night and got no response. So I know, like, for us, legally, we cannot play the Rockies games because it's an MLB thing. We can't have it on our stream because the MLB has it on their stream. They want their stream to be what you're going to. So I would check MLB.com, probably, and see if you can listen to a stream via Rockies there. That's what I would suggest.
I've been able to listen to them on TuneIn before.
TuneIn? Okay.
But that's not through us.
Right.
It's through their actual station.
So you could do that, tune in, or you could do, I think it's MLB.com too.
Yeah.
I think they have the listener
thing.
TuneIn,
you can go, they have an actual website you can go to. It's not just an app.
TuneIn. You guys, and by the way, since we're here, everybody should download TuneIn.
Yes.
Because you can get, and then go favorite us on the station there, because you'll have us with you all the time on TuneIn. So be sure to check that one out. 12-4, go.
We got an update
what
here. We're talking about toughness and stuff.
Yeah.
Suns got a big game against the Lakers tonight.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant is out.
How
Which
fitting.
Means we will miss out on LeBron versus Durant, which we have not gotten since 2018.
But it doesn't mean anything, right?
Need something for the Lakers.
Need something for the Lakers. LeBron's going tonight, right?
Is KD ducking LeBron?
I get why KD's not playing. It's a back-to-back. There's nothing to gain.
It's not LeBron. It's not his old buddy.
If I were KD and I just hurt myself walking to the bathroom the other day, I don't think I would play a back-to-back in a game. Because they can't move up or down, right? I don't think so.
Phoenix, no.
So they're set. So, I mean, why risk it with KD? But that is kind of ironic. We're talking about Kevin Durant's comments about how physical and tough the... How he doesn't really think it was that tough. It's just they didn't call as many things. But then, I'm out. Healthy scratch. I'm off. 12:49 the time. Let's wrap up this hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Catch KFKA's own Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Warmer weather means golf. Golf means warmer weather. The Eaton Country Club has both over there. If it's warm, it's going to naturally be golf season, of course. The Eaton Country Club, check them out online for membership opportunities. You can find them at eatoncc.net. Cold, snowy weather. I mean, I know it's kind of been making people crazy lately. I don't know if we're out of the woods just yet, but take advantage. Now we're getting to the point where you can at least get some days in of golf. And then Angel and I got to figure out our training regimen here, because that's coming up.
Does Eaton Country Club have a driving range?
Mm-hmm. They sure do.
Might have some weekend plans there.
Then we got to get over there And we got to get the game going because we're going to take down Tanner.
We're doing it.
We're going to take him down.
See, Tanner's already in a golf tournament this weekend, so he's already starting to get ahead of us a bit. So I'm going to try to get out to the driving range and just hit some balls.
Yeah. I mean, we could even go out and just, you know,
in the alley?
Yeah, we could go right out here real quick and hit a couple. That way we're not embarrassed when we get to the driving range. Practice here first, then go to the driving range, and then
I'm
we're
sure
ready to go.
Greedy locals would be very impressed.
Yeah, they would be. Well, we won't hit it very far, Angel, so it's not like we're doing a lot of damage. We'll see, though. We'll see who has the last lap. Like, Brian's pretty damn good at golf.
He is. He won't say it.
He won't. I saw him golf, though. I went golfing with him twice now. And he was like, I don't want to go golfing at all. It just makes me anxious getting out there. And I'm like, oh, he sucks like I do.
He's
here we go.
Same way with bowling.
Yeah. And then
he's like, I'm okay. And then he brings out his own personal ball.
Yeah, he's got a bag and a glove. And it's like, okay, that's when you know you got a bowler. Brian goes out there. You know, I love it. He's got, you know, puts that down. Bam. Just perfect shots. Perfect shots. And I'm like, what
the
hell?
And he's like, oh, I could have gotten better. I mean, Ryan, you're like 250.
Yeah, like before that, we went out. He was seriously stressing, and I was stressing, and I'm like, Tanner, I don't know, man. It's going to be crazy. I'm not ready to do it. I get embarrassed. I suck at golf. And Brian's like, yeah, me too, man. I really get anxious going out there. So I'm thinking, he's going to shank it just like me. First shot, the best shot of the day. And I'm like,
it's always the first
you
shot.
Son of a gun. That's how it happens, man. But we'll get there. We're confident. You know, Eden Country Club, they got the people there, too, that you can talk to. The golf pros and everybody will train you, help you, answer questions that you might have. Check them out online at EatonCC.net. I've got playoff tiebreaker scenarios that we can go over, too, in the NBA because it's very much all over the place. So we'll get to that on the other side. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is available at theholeshow.com, and basically talking about the Avs. I mean, the Avs are handling business right now. That's all they're doing. They need to keep moving. They're at the top of the central side of things, so they need to keep going. But they're not shying away. They just blew out San Jose last night. And so that's why, you know, they're at 100 points now. They are taking care of their business. But that all being said, what would be considered a failed season for the Colorado Avalanche when it comes to the playoffs? If they get knocked out of the first round, I think we would all agree it would be considered a failed season, even with the injuries. He still got the dogs, as we talked about earlier. Second round, I think they still got – there's a little pressure to get past them, past the second round. I think there really is. You know, that was the big hurdle for Jared Bednar to get over last year, and he did. We'll see. Feels like they might have a shot to defend this thing. All right, final hour of the show coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.